The pro-democracy movement in Myanmar and the landmark election over the weekend for the five-year-old democracy of that country, it's another sign of broad and surprising change in Southeast Asia. The opposition party has claimed victory for Nobel Peace Laureate Aung San Suu Kyi, who said in a statement that now the winners have to be humble and the losers have to be calm. And now the test of all that. Tom Ligorski, Executive Vice President of the Asia Society, welcome. And Tom, what do we need to watch now to make sure that this trajectory is going to continue?
Well, I think, John, first, in the short term, you've got to see what and how the military responds, or if they respond. I think it's very early days. They haven't even announced the results. On the ground, people seem to think that's going to go okay, but they have the power with constitutional powers that they still have vested in the military to do certain things, to mess around if there's any kind of constitutional changes put forth by the opposition, the presumptive winners. I'm not of the school that thinks there's going to be anything like a backlash or crackdown. I don't think they're that foolish. So that's one thing. And then, you know, shorter, medium, long term really is how the NLD governs, because that is the world is littered with cases of euphoric moments like this one that in the longer term didn't go so well.
You've got in the region Thailand, which has its ups and downs constantly, and you also have the prosperity of Singapore, not far away, and, of course, China. I'm wondering if this is it is glorious to be rich, kind of a Deng Xiaoping moment for the troika there in Myanmar, who kind of wishes that maybe there's a little more prosperity in the country, that it would benefit not only them but also the people.
Yeah, I mean, it feels a little early days to be making pledges and claims like that. Certainly that's the hope. It's the hope both of people inside the country. It's also the hope of a lot of outsiders, a lot of companies who have been thinking, you mentioned it's a five-year-old democracy, but really there's been a lot of people who've been sitting on the fence in terms of whether to come into that country, both in terms of who's in charge, also how to get at some of the resources. It's a resource-rich place. Tourism is a big, potential windfall for the country. But I think, first of all, you know, we got to get through this week. We have to see that, you know, that there isn't any of the nonsense and negative machinations that, again, I don't think are going to come. And then, you'll start to see whether those fence sitters, both the countries you mentioned, but also, outside Western corporations who are in there, by the way, already, many of them are, whether they put a bigger footprint on the place.
Does this fit a pattern of what's going on in the region right now? Taiwan, China, what's happening in the South China Sea, issues in Korea. Is this an outlier? You know, there seems to be a lot of change going on in the region.
You're right, and I think it may amplify the positives, assuming they are. And you can't lose sight of the enormity. I know it's very I'm a former journalist, and at this moment we always look to what the problems are going to be. But I think it's worth, you know, lingering a little bit on it's 50 plus years since they had an election that was both free, not rejected, and not violent. Mm-hmm. And that last point, by the way, which, you know, people skate over, that is a huge thing that people were very worried about. There haven't even been widespread claims of shenanigans at the ballot box. Mm. So it's an outlier in that sense. It's also an outlier. I don't know of a country on the planet in recent memory that is so vested in, for good, and maybe it gets a little complicated down the road, in one person.
Let's talk for a moment about, you've been there. How much rebuilding is going to have to take place?
Yeah, I have the odd distinction, I guess you could say, of having been there the first time as a reporter in all the way back in '89, and it was very beautiful, very pristine, draconian. It was, at that time, Suu Kyi was wandering around the country, really campaigning, not for office of any kind, but just against the regime. So on the one hand, you see extreme for somebody who hadn't been wide a spread of time, a lot of change. On the other hand, it doesn't look anything like its counterparts in the region. The changes that have been documented and reported in the last few years are very much infrastructure and roads have started to get better, especially around the capital. You see a lot of, you know, the cranes and the building and all that. It's not, I don't think, overrun. Traffic is bad, but they used not to have traffic lights that really operated, and they're there now. And the other thing is cell phones. I mean, it was until fairly recently at your hotel, you had to do the old sort of, you know, book the call with a hotel operator kind of thing. So Cuba might be a bit of a comparison in that respect.
Interesting. Tom Ligorski, Executive Vice President of the Asia Society. Thanks so much, Tom.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, are politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.